Nothing compares to Jesus. Great to sing about Jesus, isn't it? See, it's great to sing about Jesus. Do you not feel the whole sense of feel and buzz and flavor and joy goes up five notches when we sing about Jesus? We can sing songs, that's okay. But when we sing about Jesus, that changes the atmosphere. Hallelujah. And I want to be in the atmosphere of Jesus. What? Aye, you can go there now. Aye. Praise God. We're in a series here. If you're visiting this with us, join us for the first time. Where your treasure is, someone's listening, praise God. Here's a thought. What's really important to you in life? I'm talking just about the most basic level right now. What catches your attention? What catches your concern? What is it that directs your desires? What awakens your anxiety thoughts? See, this side of eternity, it's really hard to keep what God says is important, important in our hearts, important in our lives. In the scale of things, things go up and down in reflection when it comes to importance. And in so, these things begin to take over our thoughts, take over our desires, and eventually they take over our hearts. And as they take over our hearts, we heard this in week one, they influence our words and affect our behavior. How many of you can relate to this week? We get angry at things that make absolutely no difference whatsoever. Who's in a moment this week? How many of you still get irritated over the small stuff? Oh, come on. How many of you blow the small stuff way out of proportion? Let me tell you something. If we let the petty, open your ears up. If we let the petty become important, and if we let these thoughts affect and shape us, making us angry and disappointed and anxious and controlling, we don't get to the glory of what the Redeemer has called us to. Praise God. We're too busy getting wound up. Whoever gets wound up, you are a bunch of fibbers. We all get wound up over things in life that make no difference whatsoever. Happens every day. But God, amen. But God, in his tenderness, praise God, and God in his patience, has done something. Open your ears. God has done something so stunningly wonderful and beautiful, and he's done all of this in grace. Praise God. What God has done is this. He has invited us to listen in to eternity. Are you hearing this? I'm getting shivers already again. He's invited us to listen in to eternity. He's pretty much welcomed his bride now into the final chapter. Why has he done that? So we can hear the voices of people who are on the other side. And in hearing their voices, remember again what really is important. What's truly important to us. Revelation chapter 19, that's where we're going today. Let me hear the flicker of Bibles opening up. The rustle of pages swishing in the wind. Revelation 19, the book of Revelation, in its most simple form, look at it for yourself, it is a glorious portrait of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. In Revelation 19, we have Christ presented as the risen Savior, the glorified Son, the ruler of the kings of the earth, the Alpha, the Omega, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb on the throne, the Messiah reigning forever, the Word of God, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Oh, hallelujah! We could go on. We could go on. And that's just a portrait. Just a taster of glory divine right there. A beautiful painting of the glorious risen Savior. Look in here this morning, I dare you. At verses 6 through 9. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder shouting, Hallelujah! I'm just saying what the Bible says. Shouting, Hallelujah! For the Lord, our God, the Almighty, reigns. See, we can't say that quietly. We can't say that quietly. Then it says, let us rejoice. That would be a nice change for the church. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. Let's get these words. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Now fine linen stands for righteous acts of God's holy people. Verse 9. Then the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. Amen. How amazing. How amazing, how wonderful is this. This marriage arranged before the foundation of the earth. I need to go to another church, get an amen somewhere. I mean, glory to God. You're the bride, you know that. So, the marriage arranged before the foundation of the earth, the payment made on the cross, hallelujah, the wedding of the marriage sealed by the new birth of He, the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, the feast of celebration in eternity, ongoing, ongoing, ongoing. Now I want you this morning, this is dangerous now, I want you for a minute or two just to tap in and just to tune in to this revelatory moment of worship. Right here. Right, you look at it again. Look at all these words. Right there. This is the most radical. This is out of control worship. This is the wildest, most vibrant, loud, exuberant worship that is recorded in entire scripture. Look at it again. It's the sound of many waters, not just a river. Oh no. No, I think rivers are colliding at this time and lots of stuff's going on spiritually in the heavens at this time. It's the sound of many waters, so you cannot hear yourself think. It's like trying to have a conversation during a thunderstorm. It's radical worship. Right here in Revelation, this is like an explosion. This is like an explosion. The church is needing an explosion of worship. You know that? It's needing an explosion of worship. This is an explosion of glorious, heartfelt worship by who? By the bride of Christ. Of the Lamb who was slain and is now risen and reigns. And if we can, let's consider the content of this worship, because now, listen to this, there are people singing this song who now are no longer confused about what's important. Are you hearing this? These voices singing hallelujah shouting praises, shouting glory. These voices absolutely get it. We need to get it. Before we go on the other side, get it here, on this side. He's worthy now, not just when we see him. We do see him dimly through a glass, but we see him nonetheless. He changes moment by moment from glory to glory, becoming more like him. We're wanting that moment now. That explosion, that glory divine in the here and now. These voices that are singing and resonating absolutely get it. They're absolutely clear on what matters. There's a message in here somewhere. They absolutely know these are the things that matter. These are the things that are important. So look at it here. In the light of what these people have experienced, in the light of what they are now experiencing, in light of what they now know, all of that pales into virtual non-existence in the light of the glories that they are now experiencing. Hallelujah. You see, maybe I'm just talking for myself here. I'm going to let you hear me. Is it true that we live incredibly forgetful lives? How many would say you're forgetful? Let me enlarge. We wake up in the morning. Amen. That's good. It's a good thing you wake up in the morning. It means you're alive. We wake up in the morning and immediately our minds are flooded with the day ahead. It's like a wave comes over you. Who gets that in the morning sometimes, knowing the list? A wave comes over you and all of a sudden, you're captured by life. And it's like God doesn't exist. We're at the end of a hard working day, and the only thing we can think about is dinner and a little bit of television. It's like God doesn't exist. Or somebody, how dare they? Somebody has hurt us. Come on, who'd hurt us? Somebody's annoyed us. Hallelujah. Grace for that, okay guys? Just grace for that. And that controls our thoughts from the moment. And we are then just captured by that hurt. Playing it over. And we think of all the things we want to say. And it's like God doesn't exist. I really wish I could say that God's always in my thoughts, but he's not. He's not. So listen to this. Are your eyes open to see God? And does this clarity and does this vision of God protect you and motivate you? Listen carefully. Some of us have done things this week that we shouldn't have done. That we wouldn't have done if God had been in our eyes. If God had been in our eyes, we wouldn't have done those things. There are people in the room today here that are afraid of things that we would not be afraid of if God was in our eyes. God was in our eyes. There are people who need to do things that they're not doing, we're not doing, that we would do if God was in our eyes. We need that vision of God. We must have that clarity, that vision of God. And I pray that the clarity of eternity would be ours this day. Look at verse 6. Everyone say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now everyone shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Which is better? That's why we sang shout to the Lord. So hallelujah. It's a celebration. It's not a funeral. So this is raising a hallelujah in the presence of our enemies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Hallelujah. You see, when we understand that He is sovereign over all things, that He is actively reigning, praise God, then we don't try to work ourselves into some kind of control over people and situations to find some kind of rest. We have rest even when we don't understand. But the sooner we shout hallelujah, the sooner we'll come to rest, or the place of rest. Even when we're not in control, even when it seems to be chaos or calamity, because we understand that there is one hallelujah who is the ultimate definition of what is good, the ultimate definition of what is wise, the ultimate definition of what is kind. It is He who is in control. Praise God. So verse 6 says, hallelujah, for our Lord, the Almighty, reigns. And then verse 7 says, let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory. I'm just pausing for a second. I'm not getting anything. I'm just pausing. Let us rejoice. Let's start a new trend in churches. Let's start a new trend. Let us be a joy-filled church. That would be a new trend. Let's be an excitable people. Let's be a church that sings and talks about Jesus. Let's start a new trend. See, all the ancient paths have been dying out, and we're not talking about things that really matter in the church. And because we're not talking about them, we become miserable and unhappy, because Jesus wants us to talk about the things that matter. So when you walk in here and you raise a hallelujah, but it's more like a funeral you're at, let us rejoice and be glad and give Him the glory now. See, we were given life and breath and glory of another. Praise God. But we're so easily captured by all kinds of other glories. Yes, we are. If you're saved, or if you're being saved, oh yes, I get some wild reports. I never get wild reports in my house. My family just took the utter rip out of me. If you're being saved or are saved, don't lose hold of that deep sense of privilege. Hear this. Knowing no matter what, we are redeemed. Praise God. Let me tell you something about me. There's an infectious joy in me that winds people up. People have actually said to me, we'd like to see you down. Come and have a go. There's a joy inside of me, I love it, that you cannot rob. And you cannot take away. Because the Holy Spirit put it in there. It will remain in me all the days of my life. Even when we go through hardship, trial, trouble, tribulation, testing, death, there's something inside that raises a hallelujah, that shouts my Redeemer lives, that shouts He's alive, that shouts I love Jesus. There's something in us that cannot be removed or ever taken away. See, how do I know my joy can never be taken away? I know because my Redeemer lives. And He lives inside me. So my redemption, my inclusion in the wedding feast, hallelujah, I could never have achieved, I could never have earned, I don't ever really deserve that. Today, what we're talking about again, it's all about His grace. It's all about His grace. What a glorious mystery grace is, isn't it? And we need bag loads of it in this world we're living in today. Bag loads of it. See, church, we have got a reason. We have got a reason in all of our struggle, in all of the world's brokenness, to actually celebrate day after day after day after day. We used to sing, I've got a new life. I've got a new life. Remember it? If anybody asks me, what's the matter with you, my friend? Tell them that I am saved, sanctified, glory host filled, water baptized, Jesus on my mind, I've got a new life. Thanks, Gail. Totally forgetful there. That's why we have a reason to celebrate. Because our whole life revolves around Jesus. Everything. And because of, listen, there is no hope for humanity without grace. None whatsoever. What a reason, as they did in Revelation here, what a reason to worship. Here's a quote, here's a thought for you, mull over, for all those taking notes. Worship, listen to this. Worship should be our identity before it's our activity. Worship should be our identity before it's our activity. It's us. How do I know that? Because the Bible says we are worshippers who worship Him in spirit and in truth. We have been created to worship the risen Savior. Paul writes in Romans 1 verse 25, he warns us about godlessness and the wickedness of people. And it says this, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator. Who is forever praised. Now listen to this. We are always attaching our identity, our meaning and purpose, our inner self, our well-being to something. And so there is something that is always laying claim to the worship rulership of our hearts. And the Bible would say that since the heart is the control center of the human being, whatever my heart worships will then exercise control over my desires, over my thoughts, over my words and offer my actions. So, comfort becomes important. Pleasure becomes important. Acceptance becomes important. Power becomes important. Being right, becomes important. And of course, material possessions become way too important. And so, we have to remember again, we need to hear it again, that God is the only thing, the only one who exists in the universe who is worthy of our worship. Only God. It is only worship of God. Listen to this. It's only worship of God that doesn't carry any danger with it. Amen. And so by God's design, we have been created to appreciate glorious things and express that love. But we're unique. We're unique from the rest of creation with this. But let's not... there's always a warning sign in here. Let's not get caught up with the wrong glorious things. God has throughout time and creation sent signs. Everyone say signs. God has sent signs to point us, to point to his glory, and mankind has thought those signs were the glory. Oh. Stay with me. You see, we can be captured by what is meant to be the sign. Let me say it again. We can be captured by what is meant to be a sign or the sign instead of moved by the sign to the ultimate glory. Take an example from John chapter 6. I'll go through this quickly. John chapter 6, an amazing moment where Jesus has just miraculously fed 5,000 using a little boy's lunch. Scripture says in verse 14 of John 6, after the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who has come into the world. Wow. And all of a sudden, it's like, wow, they're getting it. They are thinking, this is it. This is the prophet. Perhaps this is even the Messiah. Now look at what Jesus does in verse 15. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to the mountainside by himself. What's that about? So what's that all about? Because they're now confused. And when they finally found Jesus on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Move on to verse 26. Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Verse 27. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Amen. Jesus is saying, you stopped at the sign. You stopped at the sign. Are you hearing this? I'm going to say it again over here. You stopped. Where? At the sign. This is important stuff this morning. Listen to what Jesus is saying. He's pretty much saying, you don't actually want me because you have a revelation that I am the bread of life. All you're wanting is the physical, earthly glory, perishable goods. Look at it yourself. Then in verse 53 of John chapter 6, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. 54, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Amen. Jesus is saying to his followers, you just missed the point. Oh, we don't like to hear that. You missed the point. He's saying the glory that has excited you is all the wrong glory. It's all the wrong glory. See, it's always about those treasures in heaven. It always has to be about the eternal gift. And listen to this, church, as we come into a close here. We need to stop now just looking at the signs. Signs are important, but we need to stopping at the sign and live for what the sign points to. Or what the sign, or who the sign is trying to show you. What is that? That is the ultimate glory. That's the glory of God that will only ever satisfy our hearts today. So hear this today. Creation that we live in, creation has absolutely no ability whatsoever to satisfy your heart. The created world will never function as a satisfying Messiah for you or for me. It will not happen. All it's meant to be is to be a finger that pointing to the one who can fill your heart and give you the satisfaction and joy and contentment and glory and true righteousness that can only be found in Jesus Christ. Sadly, we want it all in the here and now. You know, God grant us patience. God grant us patience. See, like children, we cannot bear delayed gratification. It's true. We can be so impatient. How long? How long? How long? How long? But when you read Scripture, open your eyes to the patience of God. Look at the generations between the fall of Adam and Eve and the coming of Jesus the Messiah. And why did God choose that way? Simple. Because His way is the best way. And it always has been. It was the best way it could ever be. Everything that happened was exactly as it should happen. Every moment was part of the plan. This particular moment of the coming of Christ, this was the absolute genius moment in the mind of the divine. Genius. So, does Jesus, hallelujah, does Jesus not truly deserve all the praise? Is Jesus not worthy of everything that comes from us to heaven? Is He not deserving of the accolades, of the round of applauses? Is it not all about Him? Not all about Him. Remember Revelation and listen to their song again today. Remember again, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us, as the bride of Christ, let us rejoice. Let us be glad. Let us give Him glory. Would you stand with me this morning? Hallelujah. I'll just sing while the band are coming. On bended knee I come with a humble heart. I come bowing down